Live from NPR News, I'm Giles Snyder. President-elect Joe Biden is building out his White House team. He is expected to appear today alongside some of his newly announced cabinet picks. They include veterans from the Obama administration, and Biden is planning to name former Fed Chair Janet Yellen to head the Treasury Department. NPR Scott Horsley.
She's obviously held a number of powerful economic posts already. She led the central bank for 4 years under Presidents Obama and Trump. And she was also a top White House economist under President Clinton. She's been described as extremely competent and experienced. She's well known by other central bankers around the world, which would be helpful as Treasury Secretary. And she's a consensus builder, which Washington could certainly use right now.
The transition process is moving into a new phase. The General Services Administration has formally recognized Joe Biden as the president-elect, giving him the resources he needs ahead of the inauguration in January. While President Trump tweeted his support of the move last night, he still refuses to concede and is pledging to continue fighting the election results in court. The number of COVID-19 hospitalizations in the U.S. now tops 83,000, and Will Stone reports that some hospitals are warning that they may have to ration care to include a patient's odds of survival.
When hospitals get strained, they resort to so-called crisis standards of care. It's a guide for how to prioritize care during a catastrophic event. Both the Midwest and South have close to 30,000 patients hospitalized for COVID. Dan Hanfling is an emergency physician who helped craft one of the national models for crisis standards of care.
Unfortunately, I think, you know, looking into the very near future, we may soon cross that threshold.
Some states, including Utah and Missouri, have warned this could be coming. Hanfling says it will be done incrementally, and he expects the biggest issue will be having enough trained staff, not supplies like ventilators. For NPR News, I'm Will Stone.
The only U.S. meatpacking plant approved to export kosher beef to Israel is being sued for alleged unsafe working conditions during the pandemic. Bill Kelly is with member station NET. He reports a federal case is being brought on behalf of employees at the plant in central Nebraska.
About 300 workers process Angus beef at Western Reserve, owned by Minnesota-based Noah's Ark Processors. The American Civil Liberties Union filed the lawsuit on behalf of a Nebraska doctor treating COVID patients and four former workers, all of whom contracted the virus. Court filings claim workers are not being provided clean protective masks or on-site testing, and safe distancing is not required along the production line. All are practices recommended by public health experts. A federal judge is being asked to require the company put in place commonly used precautions. The company declined comment on the lawsuit. For NPR News, I'm Bill Kelly in Lincoln, Nebraska.
And you're listening to NPR News. Georgia is counting ballots again today. A machine recount was scheduled to begin just a few minutes ago. Georgia certified its election results last week after conducting a hand recount. This latest recount comes at the request of the Trump campaign, but state officials say they do not expect things to change much. President-elect Joe Biden defeated President Trump in Georgia by just under 13,000 votes. An unmanned spacecraft is on its way to the moon. China launched it before dawn today, and when it gets there in a little over a week, a robot on board will make the first attempt since the 1970s to collect lunar rocks and debris and bring them back to Earth. NPR's John Ruich reports.
The Long March 5 rocket blasted off at 4:30 a.m. Beijing time. If successful, the mission will make China the third country ever to collect lunar material. Both the United States and the Soviet Union did so decades ago. But it's complex. Chinese state media say a lunar lander will drill into the moon to collect underground samples and scoop material from the surface with a robotic arm. Then an ascender will blast off from the moon with the cargo and fly it to an orbiting re-entry vehicle that will bring it to Earth. The entire mission is scheduled to take about 23 days. China has invested heavily in its space program, and it plans to send people to the moon eventually. John Ruich, NPR News.
Ahead of the opening bell on Wall Street, global financial markets mostly higher in Tuesday trading. The benchmarks in Frankfurt and London are up, and shares finished higher in Japan, Australia, and South Korea after the federal government gave the green light to the transition process. I'm Giles Snyder, NPR News.